This audiobook will show you how to speak and heal your body in a new way. You are not just made of muscle and memory. You are made of words, and the words you speak daily either open the door to healing or tell your body to brace for more pain. It's time to speak differently. Speak to heal. Introduction. You've tried the routines. You've read the books. You've followed the advice. Eat this. Avoid that. Think positive. Meditate more. And still, the ache remains. This audiobook will show you how to speak to your body in a new way. Not with pressure or panic, but with truth, compassion, and power. Speak to heal. Introduction. In your body, in your chest, in the quiet places no doctor's test can reach. You're not weak. You're not broken. You're just carrying words inside you that were never meant to stay. Because healing doesn't start with action. It starts with language. The words you repeat to yourself. I'm exhausted. My body's failing me. I'll never feel normal again. Those aren't just thoughts. They're instructions, signals, blueprints that your nervous system quietly obeys. And the truth is, you cannot heal in a body you speak against. Chapter 1. What you say, you store. How the body records every thought. Your body keeps a journal. But it doesn't write in ink. It writes in muscle tension, heart rate, hormone levels, and breath. And what does it write down most? What you say about yourself. Every repeated thought. Every whispered, I can't. Every quiet, I'm not enough. Your body hears it. And more than that, it believes it. Modern neuroscience and ancient wisdom agree. The way you speak to yourself is not harmless. It's programming. Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches that repeated thoughts and emotional patterns create new wiring in the brain. When you think, I'm always tired, or my body's falling apart, and you feel that truth deeply, your body encodes that state. It becomes your baseline. Your chemistry shifts to match the message. That's not poetic metaphor. It's neurobiology. The brain sends a message. The body responds with chemicals. And soon, your cells begin living in the echo of your beliefs. Louise Hay spent decades teaching that every illness begins with a thought. Not because you're to blame, but because thoughts are instructions. Say, I'm overwhelmed every day, and your immune system receives that as a fact. Say, I can't handle this, and your nervous system prepares for collapse. Say, I'm healing with feeling, and your body begins looking for signals of recovery. Your words become your internal climate, and your body adjusts its systems to survive in it. Here's a simple example. Let's say a woman grew up hearing, you're too emotional. She absorbs this, not just in her mind, but in her posture, her breath, her endocrine system. As an adult, when big feelings arise, her body tightens. Not because anything's wrong, but because her inner language still whispers, you're too much. Keep it in. Don't feel. And over time, the body stores this as anxiety, as tension, as exhaustion. Not from what's happening, but from what's being repeated. You may not even realize the phrases you carry. the ones that live in the background, I'm not strong like other people. I've always had health issues. My body betrays me. These are not passing thoughts. They are invisible blueprints. Your cells, your hormones, your immune system. They adjust themselves to match the architecture of those words. And yet, if you've memorized illness, you can also memorize healing. Your brain has the capacity to rewire. This is the miracle of neuroplasticity. When you start saying, "I'm safe now," my body knows how to recover. I'm learning to feel peace again. You begin giving your nervous system new instructions, not demands, but directions. And with enough repetition, your biology will begin to follow. This doesn't mean you'll never feel pain, or that one good affirmation will fix years of stress. It means your body is more responsive than you've been taught. It listens not just to medicine, but to meaning. It listens to the tone in your voice when you say, "I'm okay." It listens to whether you trust yourself when you say, "I'm healing." It listens and it writes. So the question is no longer, "What's wrong with me?" The deeper question is, "What have I been saying to myself for so long that my body started living it out?" This is not about guilt. It's about responsibility, the kind that frees you. You don't need perfect words. You need new ones. Ones your body can begin to believe. You need to say, "I've stored the story of pain, but I'm ready to speak something new." Because your healing doesn't begin with a pill, a plan, or a practice. It begins with a word. Your word. And what you choose to say from this moment forward is what your body will begin to store. Chapter 2. Words That Wound. The Subtle Power of Self-Harm Through Language. There is a kind of pain no X-ray can detect. No scan can measure it. But your body feels it every day. It's the weight of words you didn't realize you were carrying. Especially the ones you said to yourself, "I'm such a mess. I'll never get better. Why do I always ruin things?" We speak these phrases casually, sometimes even with a laugh. But beneath the humor is harm. Because the body doesn't know the difference between a joke and a command. Louise Hay taught that every criticism, every complaint, every phrase of self-rejection sends a message to the body: you are not safe. You are not enough. You are not whole. Over time, those messages don't just pass through you. They take residence. They settle in the muscles that won't relax, in the fatigue that never quite lifts, in the digestive system that's always tight, and in the breath you hold without noticing. Your body listens, not just to what happens, but to how you describe what happens. Think of it this way. If a child were sick, would you stand over them and say, "You're hopeless. You always get sick. You'll never be strong"? Of course not. And yet, how many times have you said something similar to yourself? "This is just who I am. I always fall apart. My body's broken." You wouldn't speak that way to someone you love. But for some reason, you've learned to tolerate it internally. And what you tolerate, you teach your body to expect. This is the subtle violence of self-talk. It doesn't scream. It seeps. And that seepage shapes how your body heals, how it rests, and how it trusts. Louise Hay reminded us that the body thrives in love, not abstract, spiritual love, but daily, spoken, grounded, verbal kindness. Without it, your body feels like it's constantly under attack. Even when no one is saying anything cruel from the outside, because the real harm is coming from within. This is not about blame. You didn't choose these words to hurt yourself. You likely learned them in moments of overwhelm. You adopted them from voices that were never yours to begin with. Parents, teachers, culture, religion. Somewhere along the way, you mistook inner punishment for responsibility. You thought if you scolded yourself hard enough, you'd finally improve. But you didn't improve. You tightened. You numbed. You built resilience, but lost softness. The very quality your body needs to heal. So what's the alternative? Language as medicine. You don't have to swing to false positivity. You don't have to declare, "I'm amazing," when you feel awful. You simply begin with honest kindness. Try this. Instead of, "I'm a disaster," say, "I'm overwhelmed, but I'm finding my way." Instead of, "I'm broken," say, "I'm healing from more than most people know." Instead of, "I ruin everything," say, "I've made mistakes, and I'm learning to respond differently." Each of these is a small repair, a shift, a new agreement. And your body, always listening, takes note. Healing requires new language, not to deny your pain, but to stop re-injuring the same places with your voice. You cannot speak to your body like an enemy and expect it to open. You cannot bully yourself into balance. You cannot shame yourself into stillness. But you can begin again with one sentence, with one softer tone, with one choice to stop speaking harm and start speaking peace. Louise Hay believed that healing begins the moment you say, "I am willing." Willing to try something new. Willing to be kind to yourself. Willing to see that the way you speak becomes the way you live. You've suffered long enough under the weight of harsh words. Let this be the moment you release them. Not by force, but by recognition. Speak as someone who knows they are healing. Even if you don't fully believe it yet, speak as someone who is ready to stop wounding the body they live in. Speak as someone who finally understands. Your words were never just words. They were seeds. And now you choose to plant something new. Chapter 3. The healing voice within, finding the inner tone that soothes, not scolds. There is a voice inside you that has more influence over your healing than any prescription. Not because it controls your biology directly, but because it controls your belief. And belief, when felt deeply and spoken repeatedly, becomes the nervous system's compass. Most of us don't realize how often that inner voice becomes our worst critic, not out of cruelty, but out of habit. We've been conditioned to correct, to push, to fix, so we speak to ourselves the way we imagine progress should sound. "You're so dramatic. You need to toughen up." What's wrong with you today? This voice doesn't just exist in thoughts. It echoes in the body. In the tightening of the chest, the spike of cortisol, the shallow breath that follows a self-directed insult. Dr. Joe Dispenza teaches that thoughts, when combined with emotional intensity, begin to rewire your brain. If repeated often enough, they train the body into a state of being. Your inner tone becomes your outer chemistry, and your nervous system begins to memorize the emotional signals you send, whether they're healing or harmful. So what happens when your inner voice sounds more like punishment than presence? You remain in defense. Your body braces. Healing is postponed. Because healing does not unfold in an environment of tension. It unfolds in the presence of safety. And safety begins with how you speak to yourself when you're hurting. You may have tried affirmations, but if your inner tone is cold, mechanical, or laced with doubt, your body won't receive them. Because it's not just the words, it's the energy behind them that determines whether they become medicine or noise. Now imagine a new voice inside you. Not fake, not forced, but kind. Not the cheerleader shouting, "You've got this," when you're on the floor in tears, but the grounded presence that whispers, "This is hard, and I'm still here with you." That voice doesn't rush. It doesn't scold. It soothes, like warm hands over a shaking heart. And something miraculous happens in its presence. The body lets go. The breath returns. The healing begins. This voice may not come naturally at first, especially if your upbringing rewarded strength, productivity, or emotional suppression. But the good news is, this voice can be learned. And once it's learned, it can become your default. Try speaking to yourself with the tone you would use with a scared child, or a grieving friend, or someone you deeply cherish. That tone, that gentleness, is not weakness. It is biological nourishment. The vagus nerve, which regulates your parasympathetic rest and repair response, responds directly to vocal tone. So when your inner voice is calm, slow, and soft, you're not just being kind and swing. You're literally helping your body return to regulation. That is healing, not the fixing, not the forcing, but the tone of presence that invites the body to exhale and return to center. You can begin right now. Say aloud, "I'm doing the best I can, and that is enough today." Feel what happens in your chest when you say it with a warm tone, not sarcastic, not hollow, but with sincerity. That shift you feel? That's your body responding to love. You've done the pushing. You've tried the pressure. Now try the opposite. Try compassion. Try gentle consistency. Try becoming the one voice in your own life that doesn't demand improvement, but offers acceptance as the condition for transformation. That is the healing voice. And once you find it, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. Let it speak today. Let it walk with you through pain and progress. Let it replace the internal storm with a steady inner home. Because when your voice becomes the one that soothes, not scolds, your body will finally believe, "I'm safe to heal." Chapter 4. I Am the Medicine. Every healing journey begins with two words. I am. Not I will be. Not I hope to become. But I am now. This isn't a motivational slogan. It's the activation point of your entire identity. And identity is what the body listens to most. You can take the vitamins. Do the journaling. Even meditate for an hour each day. But if deep in your system, you still whisper, I am sick. I am broken. I am the problem. Then your body remains loyal to that voice, because the body doesn't follow your efforts. It follows your identity. Louise Hay was clear. The point of power is in the present moment, and it begins with what you say after I am. Your I am statements form the blueprint for how your mind sees you, how your cells respond to you, and how your body regenerates or resists change. This is why healing cannot be separated from self-perception. You cannot embody a healed state while repeating the identity of the wounded self. The language you choose becomes the atmosphere of your cells. Say, I am always tired. And the body adapts its chemistry accordingly. Say, I am restoring, and the body recalibrates. Not immediately, but consistently, because biology listens to repetition. Caroline Miss calls identity the most powerful force in spiritual healing. She says, we don't heal by begging the divine. We heal when we reclaim the power of naming and take full ownership of who we choose to be. And this includes who we are no longer willing to be. Many people live in an identity they never consciously chose. They inherited it from caregivers who said, you're too sensitive. From doctors who said, this will never change. From trauma that whispered, you're not safe here. And then, without realizing it, they began to repeat those names. I'm difficult. I'm anxious. I'm not strong like others. Over time, those words didn't just shape thought. They shaped posture, breath, and cellular memory. But the miracle is this. What was spoken once in fear can now be rewritten in truth. I am not broken. I am healing. I am not a diagnosis. I am a living, breathing miracle in progress. I am no longer who I was when I got hurt. I am medicine. I am possibility. I am becoming. These are not affirmations. They are restorative instructions to your body and soul. You don't have to fake them. You just have to be willing to say them with more certainty than the voice that once said you were too far gone. The shift happens the moment you stop trying to heal from the identity of someone who is permanently wounded, because that's the trap. To repeat the wound as a name is to stay loyal to it. But to declare, I am the medicine, is to become the environment where healing is no longer a goal. It's a state of being. Try this. Close your eyes. Place your hand over your heart and say aloud, I am healing. Again, I am healing. Feel the difference when you say it as a fact, not a wish. It may feel unfamiliar, but that's not because it's false. It's because it's new. New names take time to settle. New identities must be lived before they feel natural. But every time you say, I am peace. I am strength. I am becoming. You plant a seed in the subconscious, and your biology begins looking for ways to agree. Louise Hay believed that you are your own healer, not because you have to do it alone, but because the words you speak about yourself. Either open or close the doorway to wholeness. So ask yourself today, what name are you living under? And is it one you consciously chose? You don't have to change it all today, but you can begin. You can say, I no longer agree with the old story. You can say, I am choosing to speak from the version of me that is rising. And when you do, your body will listen. It always has. Because I am is not a description. It is a command. And healing is not something you chase. It's something you become. Let today be the day you remember. You are not the wound. You are the one who speaks new life over it. You are the medicine. Chapter 5. Conversations with Pain. Turning symptoms into messages, not enemies. Pain is not your enemy. It is your body's most urgent form of communication. It doesn't come to punish you. It comes to speak. And yet, most of us were taught to silence it, to override it, to numb it, to hate it. But what if pain isn't here to defeat you, but to direct you? Caroline Miss often says that the body speaks in a language far more honest than the mind, where the mind will rationalize, dismiss, and delay. The body tells the truth immediately, without filter. Pain is that truth, not a failure, not a flaw, a message. Your body is not attacking you. It's trying to get your attention. And the more you resist that signal, the louder it gets. You may have noticed this before. A tension in the neck that only grew tighter the more you ignored it. A gut issue that flared when you tried to push through stress. A fatigue that deepened every time you told yourself to just keep going. This isn't weakness. This is communication. Pain often arrives when something deeper is being overlooked, a boundary being crossed, a truth being denied, a pace that's no longer sustainable. The body doesn't shout unless the whisper was missed. But we've been conditioned to fear pain, to see it as failure, to fight it. And what you fight, you lose access to. When pain becomes the enemy, we disconnect from our own bodies. We brace. We override. We feel betrayed by the very vessel that's simply asking for care. But healing begins when we shift the posture from resistance to conversation. Imagine asking your pain, "What are you trying to tell me? What part of me feels unheard? What would it mean to stop fighting you and start listening?" You may not get a clear answer right away, but your nervous system will feel the shift. It will feel your willingness to stay instead of escape. This is the heart of trauma healing as well. Most unresolved pain isn't just physical, it's emotional. An unresolved emotional pain, when unspoken, will eventually speak through the body. It becomes tension, inflammation, autoimmune flare-ups, chronic exhaustion. Not because the body is broken, but because it's become the storage space for everything that was never allowed to be expressed. Your symptoms are not just dysfunction. They are intelligent signals. They are saying, slow down. Look here. Let go. Forgive. Rest. Change direction. Be honest. Come back to yourself. And when you begin speaking back, kindly, openly, you create a relationship with your body that's no longer based on fear, but trust. Try this. Place your hands over the area that hurts. Close your eyes. Take a slow breath. And say, I'm listening. You're safe to speak. Don't rush the insight. Just stay present. Let your pain know that it no longer has to scream to be heard. You may begin to notice patterns. That your migraines arrive when you're emotionally overloaded. That your stomach reacts when you're suppressing anger. That your fatigue spikes when you're trying to hold everything alone. These are not coincidences. They're cues. The body always keeps the score. But it also keeps the map. And pain, though uncomfortable, is often the place where the map begins. Caroline Miss teaches that if you want to heal, you must stop seeing your symptoms as obstacles and begin treating them as invitations. To listen. To change. To soften. To return. So today, what if you welcomed your pain? Not as a punishment, but as a messenger. What if you stopped asking, why is this happening to me? And started asking, what's trying to emerge through this? This shift is not just spiritual, it's practical. Because when you stop fighting your symptoms, your body stops needing to amplify them. You reduce the internal stress. You shift the system from defense to repair. And healing becomes possible, not just because the pain lessens, but because the war within ends. Let this be the moment you change your relationship with pain. Speak to it. Thank it for protecting you in ways it knew how. And let it know. You don't have to fight for my attention anymore. I'm here now, because pain that is listened to softens, and a body that is heard begins to heal. Chapter 6. Speak what you want the body to believe. Every word you speak is a message, not just to the world, but to your body. It's easy to think of language as expression. We say things to describe how we feel, what we're going through, what we hope for. But on a deeper level, your words are more than descriptions. They are directives. They are instructions broadcasted to the entire network of your biology. Your cells aren't neutral. They're listening all the time. And they are responding not only to the chemical signals in your bloodstream, but to the emotional tone behind your words. Bruce Lipton, in his work on epigenetics, made a powerful observation. Genes respond to the environment, and your thoughts, your perception, create that environment. So, if your thoughts are fearful, and your words reinforce powerlessness, you create an inner world where healing slows, where inflammation increases, where survival takes priority over restoration. The opposite is also true. When your words speak safety, possibility, and gentle certainty, you create a biological climate that welcomes repair. In other words, your language doesn't just reflect your state, It helps generate it. Think of the common phrases many people use. My body never cooperates. I can't deal with this anymore. This always happens to me. These aren't just habits of speech. They're affirmations, unconscious mantras, repeated daily and soaked up by a body that trusts the voice it hears most. Now imagine repeating instead, "My body is working with me. I'm learning how to support myself through this. I trust that healing is happening, even if I can't see it yet." These are instructions, not commands shouted in desperation, but calm, repeated cues. Like a kind teacher retraining the nervous system. The body does not demand perfection, but it needs direction. Without conscious language, your biology runs on old patterns, old phrases, old identities, old agreements that no longer serve your becoming. That's why this chapter is not about becoming a positive thinker. It's about becoming a precise speaker. Speak not what you fear, but what you want the body to recognize. Speak not what you inherited, but what you now choose. Speak not from the pain, but to the pain with tenderness and instruction. You might say, "I feel the tension and I send softness there." This symptom is a message, not a punishment. My body knows how to find balance again. I give it permission. Do not underestimate the power of these small phrases. They are like water on dry ground. Given daily, they restore trust between you and the very body you once resented. Bruce Lipton's findings reveal that gene activity is not fixed, that your perception, and by extension, your inner dialogue, can literally switch genetic pathways on or off. That's not spirituality, that's cellular biology. So the question becomes, what are you instructing your body to do with your language? Are you commanding it to collapse or inviting it to rise? You don't have to sound confident right away. What matters is consistency, tone, and sincerity. Start with bridge phrases. I'm learning to feel better. It's safe to heal now. My body hears me. I speak gently. Let these become your new normal. Let your language build a home your nervous system wants to return to. This is not about pretending. It's about choosing. Because your body isn't asking for perfection. It's asking for partnership. And that partnership begins with how you speak. Not in moments of clarity, but especially in moments of fear. So the next time you feel lost in symptoms or emotion, pause and ask yourself, "What do I want my body to believe right now?" Then say it. Whisper it. Repeat it. You're not just expressing. You're instructing. And your biology is listening. Let every word be a signal of peace. Let every phrase become a thread of repair. Let every sentence move you. Not further into fear, but gently back into wholeness. Chapter 7. Becoming the Healing Field. When your presence begins to heal others, there is a moment in every healing journey. When something begins to shift, not just inside of you, but around you, people respond differently. Strangers feel safer in your presence. Friends begin to open up. your energy no longer says, "I'm surviving." It says, "You can breathe here." This is when healing becomes more than personal. It becomes transmissible. You become the field. Dr. Joe Dispenza often describes the body as a broadcasting tower, constantly emitting a frequency based on your internal state. When you embody peace, not just say it, your energy signals coherence to those around you. You regulate not just your own nervous system, but also gently influence others to regulate with you. You've probably felt it before. Entering a room and sensing ease without a word spoken, that's the field. It's not performance. It's not charisma. It's alignment. And alignment is magnetic. Caroline Miss refers to this as energetic integrity. She says, when your words, your thoughts, and your energy match, people feel that, and they trust it. This is the silent power of someone who has done the inner work, not just to speak healing, but to become it. When you've spoken kindly to yourself long enough, your presence becomes a safe place for others. You don't need to fix them. You don't need to carry them. You need to be what you've already become. And that becomes an invitation. You become the evidence that nervous systems can heal. That language can be restored. That peace is possible, even after pain. This is not about becoming a healer in the traditional sense. It's about becoming healing energy in motion, a living reminder that regulation is contagious. That safety isn't just an idea. It's something people feel in your presence. You don't need special training. You don't need permission. You only need to embody your own message. Let the way you speak. Slowly, kindly, with truth. Become a permission slip for someone else to do the same. Let the way you pause, instead of rush, signal to others that they can drop the tension too. Let the way you've softened toward your own pain. Create an unspoken invitation. You don't need to be perfect here. You're already enough. This is the healing field. It doesn't shout. It doesn't convince. It simply resonates. This is why monks, mystics, and healers throughout time have influenced others without speaking a word. Because they no longer talk about peace, they are peace, and presence doesn't lie. This final chapter is not just an ending, it's a beginning. You've learned to speak differently, to listen inward, to rest between the words, to rewrite your name, reshape your tone, and reintroduce yourself to your own body with reverence. Now, the echo of that work travels beyond you. It enters your relationships, your posture, your silence. And others will feel it. Not because you tell them you've changed, but because they feel safer when you're around. That is the quiet legacy of someone who is healed. Not perfection, but presence. So if you've ever wondered, can I really make a difference? The answer is yes. You already are. Every kind word spoken to your own body, every gentle breath taken in a moment of stress, every time you chose understanding over self-judgment, that's not just healing, that's transmission. Your healing is not selfish. It's generational. It's relational. It's contagious. Let your very being be the medicine. Let the way you've spoken to your own pain become the way the world begins to speak to itself. You are the field now, and without even trying, you will help others remember how to come home to themselves. Chapter 8. Healing in public. You've begun to speak to yourself with more care. You've stopped calling your body the enemy. You've made space for silence, for softness, for the slow return of trust. But now, you step outside, and suddenly, the world speaks a different language. It speaks in hurry, in shame. In comparison, sarcasm, and scarcity, the world says, push harder, be stronger, don't be so sensitive. Success is the only evidence of healing. And you, who've just begun to breathe deeper, might find yourself bracing again. Because it's one thing to create peace inside. It's another to hold it when the outside doesn't match. Caroline Miss teaches that true healing isn't just personal. It's relational. It's tested in your interactions. It's strengthened in your boundaries. And it's revealed in how you speak to yourself when others don't understand your softness. This chapter is for that moment. The moment you realize the world may not meet your healing with applause. It may meet it with discomfort. But that doesn't mean you've regressed. It means your energy has shifted. It means your field no longer fits into old systems of survival. And now, your task is not to protect your healing by hiding it, but to anchor it more deeply within yourself, so it's not shaken by someone else's chaos. This begins by recognizing that you no longer speak the language of urgency. You speak the language of integration. And in a society addicted to speed, your slowness may feel like resistance. Because it is. It is resistance to self-violation, to overexertion, to using pain as a form of proof. Your softness is sacred. But to keep it intact, you must also be willing to disappoint expectations that no longer serve your soul. You don't owe the world your pain story as an explanation. You don't owe productivity as a signal that you're better. You don't owe anyone access to the parts of you still in process. What you owe yourself is loyalty to your new tone. When others speak harshly, you don't have to match their energy. You can remain kind to yourself. When people question your slowness, you don't have to rush to explain. You can root into presence. This pace protects my peace. When friends don't understand your new boundaries, remember, your job is not to convince them. It's to stay in integrity with your healing. Integrity means saying, I don't speak to myself that way anymore. It means quietly exiting conversations that turn your body tense. It means choosing rest over reputation. It means trusting that just because the world still runs on scarcity, doesn't mean you have to join the race. Yes, there will be moments you feel alone. Moments you wonder if speaking with such care is too idealistic. But pause and remember, you're not the only one healing in public. Every time you choose calm over conflict, you give others permission to consider a new way. Every time you stay grounded in your tone, you remind someone that gentleness isn't weakness. It's strength in its most sustainable form. This is what it means to heal out loud without shouting, to carry a vibration that others can feel, even if they can't name it. And while the world may not always reflect your inner work, you will begin to find others who speak like you. People who say, "I don't rush anymore. I no longer insult myself for validation. I've stopped measuring my worth by how much I produce." You'll find each other, because healing makes you magnetic to those walking the same path. Until then, let your own voice be enough. Let it be your grounding rod. Repeat to yourself, "I don't speak in scarcity anymore. I protect my peace with softness, not walls. I belong to my healing, even when the world doesn't understand it. Because the world may still shout, but you've learned to speak like someone who is whole. And eventually, that tone echoes farther than you think. You've arrived, not at the end, but at a new beginning. A beginning where words are no longer just noise in the background, but instruments of restoration. A beginning where silence is no longer empty, but sacred. A beginning where your voice, your inner voice, has learned to become your greatest ally. Let this be your reminder. Your healing was never only in the doing. It was always in the speaking. And more than that, in how you chose to speak when it would have been easier to stay silent. If nothing else, let this truth stay with you. Your body was never against you. It was only ever echoing the way you spoke to it. Now you know better. And because you know better, you will speak better. And because you speak better, you will live better. Not perfectly, but gently. And gently is enough. So go forward, not with noise, but with knowing. Not with pressure, but with presence. Not needing to prove anything, but willing to be a healing presence. For yourself and for anyone lucky enough to hear the way you speak now, you are no longer just surviving. You are speaking to heal, and the body is listening.